Good morning, High Rock. Welcome to our daily devotional. As we continue through our Lent devotionals, we are now in 2 Samuel. Samuel is one of the prophets, and this is during the time of King David, when David has decided that God has so blessed him that he now wants to build a house for God. And so we're in 2 Samuel, starting in verse 1, where we read this. When David was settled in his palace and the Lord had given him rest from all the surrounding enemies, the king summoned Nathan the prophet. "Look," David said, "I am living in a beautiful cedar palace, but the ark of God is out there in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Go ahead and do whatever you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the Lord said to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord has declared to you. Are you the one to build a house for me to live in?" Continuing further in verse 10. God still speaking, "And I will provide a homeland for my people Israel, planting them in a secure place where they will never be disturbed. Evil nations won't oppress them as they've done in the past, starting from the time I appointed judges to rule my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Furthermore, the Lord declares that he will make a house for you, a dynasty of kings. For when you die and are buried with your ancestors, I will raise up one of your descendants, your own offspring, and I will make his kingdom strong. He is the one who will build a house, a temple for my name, and I will secure his royal throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. If he sins, I will correct and discipline him with the rod like any father would do, but my favor will not be taken from him as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from your sight. Your house and your kingdom will continue before me for all time, and your throne will be secure forever." So Nathan went back to David and told him everything the Lord had said in this vision. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
One of the things we see in this passage is this, one of the clearest declarations of this promise to David, that there will be, that his line will sit on the throne forever. There will be someone from his family who is always on the throne. Now, at this point, it's interesting. He's looking at his palace. He's living in a palace and God's living in a tent. And this strikes him as there being something wrong with this. I think many of us have sometimes thought of that as well as we follow God. It's like, you know, I really take good care of myself. How well am I taking care of God? And that tension does something with David. David wants to do something about it. And I think it's what's one of the things that's great is he doesn't just go off and do it on his own. He goes to the prophet and says, "Okay, here's what I'm seeing." And Nathan, who, you know, recognizes that God has been with David all along, says, "Go ahead and do it." But what's interesting is that God has different plans. God has a different vision for what's going to happen. One of the things that I take from that is that it's great that David has this desire, but it's also good to check in with God about what God wants rather than just assuming that we know what's best. Because, you know, as we build, you know, houses for God or temples for God or whatever we might want to build in God's name, maybe that's not what God really wants. Or maybe sometimes we're doing it out of our own desires and motivations. And this passage gives me a reminder that it's important to check in with God and also to check in with other people to you know, not just go ahead with whatever plans I might concoct in my head and think are great. Maybe the plans I have are godly ones, or maybe they're not. And maybe there's things I'm not considering. So this notion of checking in with others and checking in with God, that to me seems like a great thing to take from this passage. But also I think see here kind of God's generosity. He's one of the most famous ways that David is referred to is that David is someone after God's own heart. God, that's like, I can't imagine anything better that God could say of somebody. Said that David is after my own heart. And David, he loves David's heart here, that he wants to do this for him, but God actually wants to bless him. It's like, "You want to build me a house? Actually, I'm going to build your house." And he wants to bless David. This promise that was given to Abraham now is kind of David's the inheritor of that, that this actually promise that was given to Eve, that one of your offspring will be the one to crush Satan, right? That promise is now given in essence to David, that someone from your line is going to be the one who's going to be this king, who's going to do all these things. And I think that's a wonderful promise. And it comes out of, I think, God honoring David, because David always sought to honor God. And when David didn't honor God, he was quick to repent and change his ways. So that's one of the things I think is great about this story. But especially for me, I take out of it this desire, this need to, you know, check in with God and check in with others, because I can kind of go off on my own sometimes. And, you know, in our denomination, we have this idea of cultivating a conscious dependence on the Holy Spirit, that we're constantly checking in with God. And I know one of the ways that I've kind of grown and developed over time is, like, even in the middle of conversations, sometimes I'll stop and say, you know, God, am I really hearing what I need to hear in here? Do I need to listen in a different way? Am I asking the right questions? Just in any given moment that we can go to God, that we don't have to even go to a prophet. So anyway, this is an interesting passage about the future king that is promised, that's Jesus. But I'm wondering if there's something else that you see here, Dave.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. That clearly the promise, you know, we can now look back and see this promise that God was making was, he's referring to Jesus. Jesus is going to come. He's going to be a king. It will last forever. You know, in fact, it'll be then this whole dynasty of kings, right? The, you know, kind of people who are going to rule with Jesus. And so that's, you know, perfect. We understand that. What's interesting, I think, however, is if you'd been alive during this time, you would have seen in the next generation, David's son, literally his, you know, immediate progeny, Solomon, grows up and is the one who builds a physical temple. He builds that house that David was imagining. And so I think anybody in that generation would have said, aha, God made a promise and here's the fulfillment, right? And sort of just seems easy. They had a very clear understanding what God was talking about. And it's not that they were wrong. It's that that was just the sign of this kind of much bigger way, this much bigger thing that God was doing. And I think the thing I'm taking from that is this, I want to have just a real sense of always having open hands before God. And I've had so many times where I feel like I've just really felt convicted by God, called by God to do something, to pursue something. And then as we start to do it, all of a sudden, instead of kind of achieving this one goal that I thought was it, sort of, it feels to me like the goalposts change a little bit along the way. And I realize that first goal that I thought was the goal, that I thought the thing was God was calling me to, I'm realizing now that I'm getting closer to it, that's not it. But I never could have seen this next thing if I hadn't gotten here. And then once I get there and I think, okay, this is what God's called, and then I get closer, well, that's not quite it. And I'm realizing that God leads me along in steps, and, you know, that I don't get to see the whole journey, because that would sure be nice. You know, if I just knew God, here's exactly what God's going to use me to do. You know, I think my college age kids would love this. God, just tell me what I'm supposed to do in the world and I'll do it. You know, and yet that's not the way we generally experience, is that we instead follow it, the calling of God, and then allow for that sense. I can have conviction enough that I'm going to go and do it. I'll sacrifice without the certainty that I know how this is all going to turn out, because God's ways are much bigger than mine, much higher than my ways, right? God's thoughts are way beyond my thoughts. God's ways are not my ways, right? God tells us this in so many different times, that I just have to hold everything with open hands. And so then, you know, kind of at the end of time, I'm gonna be able to look back and see all of these ways that God had called me, all of these promises that God had made, some of which feel like they really came true, and some of which in the short term feel like they didn't really come true at all. You know, I know for my wife, you know, she really had this strong sense that when she was a young person, that God was calling her to be a mom, right? And have a big family. And then, you know, we couldn't have kids. And you kind of think, well, what in the world, right? And it's just, obviously it wasn't happening the way that sort of she experienced. She had a sense that God was calling her, that God had spoken to her, and it didn't add up at that moment. Well, as it turns out, we now have more kids than anybody, right? And the whole idea is, okay, in fact, the calling that God had given my wife was real. It just really looked different than what we had thought, what we had understood. But looking back from this situation, we kind of think, oh yeah, now we see exactly what God was saying. So anyway, I just think that there's this sense that a lot of times we don't understand the whole plan. Even David, the man after God's own heart, who wrote all of those Psalms, was a real man of prayer, and had these prophets right there with him who were hearing from God, even he didn't really understand the fullness of what God was doing. He couldn't have understood what God was doing, but he didn't need to understand. He needed to know just enough that he could be faithful to take the next step. And I think that's the real piece for us, is that, hey, you know, do the discernment work in the beginning, as you mentioned, right? Ask God, ask godly people, and then be faithful to take the next step. Uncertain of exactly what's going to happen next, but you don't need to know. You need to know you've been called to be faithful now and in this way. And once you're there, and that wherever you get because of that, then God can show you the next step. You know, I've always thought, you know, that David is the one who writes, you know, that God's word, it's like a flashlight for my feet, right? It's a lamp. It's not a floodlight, right? I don't get to see now the whole map. All I can see is just a couple of steps ahead of me. Those are the ones I'm going to take. And once I'm there, I'll see a couple steps ahead of me. And I think that is the way that God so often works.
I was thinking of that exact same verse, that it's a light unto my path. Like, it's just in the darkness, that lantern's only going to go so far, but it's enough. It's enough to take in the next few stages or next few steps in the journey. Maybe it's not exactly what we imagined, right? Often, like for your wife, oftentimes it can be far greater than we imagined, and we won't know until we take those steps. I think also sometimes in those plans and desires and dreams, sometimes like David, we end up being like a baton carrier rather than the one who actually crosses the finish line. Like David wanted to build God's house, and God's like, no, your children will. So you get to carry the torch, but you're going to pass that torch on to someone else. And I think, and I've known a number of people where the dreams that they had, they never were quite able to achieve them, but they were able to kind of be the person who passed it on to the next generation, who was able to carry that dream forward. I remember at this church I was previously a part of, one day this woman came into this gym that we were meeting in, and she wanted to talk to one of the pastors. And she starts telling us this story of how she used to be a teacher in that school, and how she had prayed for years for a church to come into her neighborhood to be able to reach people. And she had been praying for years, like, and you're here. Like, and she was, you know, an elderly woman at this time, and just kind of seeing like she was part of, you know, carrying that torch forward, that she actually got to see it happen. But a lot of times there are people who don't get to see it happen. Doesn't mean that they were wrong. Doesn't mean that their desires weren't good. It just might mean that they're the one carrying the baton to pass on to someone else.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. You know, I think of Maynard Large was the same way in Arlington. Back when the building that we now meet in Arlington was just sitting empty for many years, Maynard would walk every day. He's a guy who's 97 years old, and every day he'd do a little walk, and he'd come to that church building, and he would sit on the steps, and he would pray that a Bible-believing church would come into that space. And so he was there literally the very first day we opened up the doors, and he was just so full of joy because this was the thing that he had prayed for, you know, all of this time, and had thought at his age he probably would never see this thing happen, but then was a part of our church for you know, 3-4 years before he died. And he was just so full of celebration because he got to see the fulfillment to this thing that he felt like God had really given him a burden for.
Well, I'd love to close this in prayer with that thought in mind. Our good and gracious God, we thank you for the desires you place in our heart, and even just the desire to want to serve and glorify you like David wanted to do. Lord, I pray that you would also along the way give us discernment and wisdom and other people to counsel with, and that we would take up this invitation to constantly go to you in prayer. And Lord, we thank you for the people in our congregation, the people in our lives who are these prayer warriors, these faithful people who continue to pray and seek your guidance and are carrying that baton, carrying that torch forward as we move forward. Lord, whatever stage of our journey we're in, I do pray that we would be looking to your word and to one another and seeing the next step in the path that you have for us, and that you would give us the faith and courage to take that step and trust that that's enough, that if we trust you along the way, you'll get us to where we need to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, everybody, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you, John, for joining me with us today. And we're really enjoying this journey through Lent together. I hope that you are enjoying it as well. We look forward to seeing you again tomorrow.